2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
Lord, your word has just taught us that your word is actually used by you that we may reach completion, that we may be filled with everything that enables us to do good. So we ask now as we meditate on your word that we'll find your spirit working that great work in us. Amen. So continue in what you have learned and have believed, knowing from whom you learned it. So Paul says to Timothy at the start of that reading today, his exhortation and charge to Timothy right through this letter has been that he's to continue or to persevere in the gospel and in gospel ministry. And here he reminds him that this is a gospel that he learned some time ago. It's a gospel that he's known since childhood. At the beginning of this letter, Paul has written to Timothy and said, as I remember your tears, so that must have been when he and Timothy were parting the last time they met, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And then he goes on and encourages him to fan into flame the gift that God has given him. So since childhood, Timothy has been exposed to the gospel and known the gospel. These faithful women, Lois, his grandmother, Eunice, his mother, had made sure he was acquainted with the sacred writings, Paul says here in today's reading. How from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. So that's the scriptures, which for Paul and Timothy, in the time when the New Testament was still in formation and not yet there, that means the Old Testament. And so Paul's grandmother and his mother had told him the Bible stories, told him the scriptures of Israel's great history. Their names are Greek names, and so maybe they had been proselytes to Judaism before. Maybe they were Hellenic Jews and so had Greek names that way. Or maybe they were converts early on in Paul's ministry, and now it's later as Paul's writing this letter. It's a little bit hard to know. But anyway, they had faithfully told Timothy these things. Through these scriptures, Timothy had heard the gospel intimated there. The gospel is the seed buried in the Old Testament. It's there in every part, buried, but waiting to come up to the surface and into full flower. And so through the scriptures, Timothy had heard the gospel intimated there. And then when he heard Paul preach the gospel, in which Paul generally interpreted the Old Testament in the light of Jesus, it all clicked into place for Timothy and he believed. And in all this, the Holy Spirit by whom the scripture writers had been moved. Paul says here, doesn't he, that all scripture is inspired by God. breathed out by God. So God was breathing out. The Spirit was coming to these people who wrote the scriptures, those Old Testament prophets and historians and wise men and women in the Old Testament. All of that was coming through the ministry of the Spirit. And then Paul, when he preached the scriptures, was himself filled with the Spirit. And then when Timothy believed, he received the Spirit. And in all of that, the Holy Spirit was revealing Jesus Christ and so causing faith to rise. I wonder who the people are that you know who acquainted you with the scriptures and who helped you to find God's grace in Jesus. Anybody you can think of, the top of your head, straight away, that person really was important for me coming to hear the Bible and to know the grace of God. The first Bible story I can remember learning, at a certain point, Mum was taking us to a little kind of mission church in Geraldton in WA. Do you remember that, Mum? And I think it was a recently established little church by the Bush Church Aid Society. And we had been at the cathedral. I don't remember much there, at a Sunday school there. But then we arrived there. And the first Bible story I remember was Genesis 3, because we were doing it as a play for presentation to the congregation. And I got to be the snake. And I was always very worried about that. Yeah, I thought, why did they choose me? It was a bit traumatic, actually. but that's the first Bible story I remember. Well, Timothy had been taught by Jesus. Having said all what we said, he'd been taught by Jesus through the ministry of the Spirit, exercised in the ministry of faithful people. I think it's Karl Barth who said, you never heard the word of God from human lips. It's kind of an interesting statement because he believed in preaching. But what he was saying is that when the word of God breaks open to us, when we hear it, that's because the word of God has spoken to us directly himself. But he's done that by the ministry of the Spirit in the ministry of particular men and women who've opened up the word to us. That's how each of us learns the truth, not simply as data, but as the living, life-giving reality. Jesus himself teaches us the truth and reveals himself to us through in the light of the scriptures. So the Jesus we learn of, the Jesus who speaks to us, is the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus anticipated in the story of God's redeeming work in the history of his people Israel, and in the word given then to the prophets, and then proclaimed in the preaching of the apostles and the teaching of those who wrote the epistles, and the evangelists who, shaped by the apostolic preaching and teaching, then recorded the life and words of Jesus in the Gospels. So there's a definite content to Jesus. We can't have a Jesus of our imagination. I know many of you really like The Chosen, and I've heard good reports on that, but something about The Chosen just gives me a little bit of uncertainty in that it has larger elements of it which are fictionalised. Additional encounters that Jesus has with imaginary people. And the danger with that is that we then build a story around what we would like rather than encounter the gracious Jesus. I think God's word is so extraordinary in opening to us the truth of Jesus. I'm not saying don't watch The Chosen, but I'm just saying realise that it is a kind of a interpretation with additions in a way, I think. Take that for what it's worth to you. Yeah. But we can't, the message has, of the gospel has definite content. We can't make up our own story about Jesus. We have to have the Jesus who comes to us. We have to learn him from the scriptures and those who faithfully speak from those scriptures. And then we must firmly believe, faithfully hold on to that revealed truth. It's through the Spirit's work in the scriptures that we become wise for salvation. We understand God's saving ways and the fullness of the grace that he's brought to us in Jesus Christ. And so Paul then, who's trying to encourage Timothy, this young leader in the church, and a significant leader, I think he's the leader of the church in Ephesus, he encourages him and urges him to continue himself using the scripture in his ministry. I love that song by Havergal. It's just beautiful. Just before I go on, I want to say, there's Timothy, who's got a mother and a grandmother who've shared these stories with him. And so here's this wonderful thing for us. Those of us who are parents have a responsibility to share that with our children. Those of us who are grandparents have this opportunity to share these things with our grandchildren. Those of us who are godparents have the opportunity to share these good things with our godchildren. When I became a Christian, it was through Roseanne, who I've told you about, who died a few weeks ago. She invited me along to a Bible study, which I kind of trashed with my stupidity, but they kept inviting me back. So it could be through if you're a friend, you have this opportunity of opening the story of Jesus to your friends. It's a really wonderful thing, isn't it? And here, Timothy, who's a church leader, has the opportunity and the responsibility to keep opening the story of the scriptures, the word of God, so that men and women may not only encounter Jesus for the first time, but continue to grow and be built up in him. That's why Paul urges him to continue using the ministry in his scripture. All scripture, he says, is breathed out by God and profitable, useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It's a useful thing, the scriptures, because in it, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us, reprove us, correct us, and train us in righteousness. So there's four things there. My first reading of it, I thought there's two positive words and two negative words. But there's actually, in a way, there's actually four positive words. But you could say there's three and one. Three positive and one negative. I'll just go through them. The negative one is reproof, that we are to be reproved. Really, it has this idea of being convicted. The Spirit uses the Word of God to give us a consciousness of where we are, where we actually are, not where we think we are, and where we're in error in thought or word or deed. The Spirit uses the Word of God to do that. It's a really helpful thing when the Spirit does that. We're very easily self-deluded, aren't we? Have one view of what we're doing, and then suddenly it breaks open. What was I thinking? And so often the Word of God is the thing that brings that about, the Spirit's work through the Word of God. It might have been you've had that experience of reading the Scriptures and suddenly become aware of something that you weren't aware of, something that you'd assume just to be normal or something right. And now you know to be something that displeases God. I've told you about my friend at Larks Bay, old lady who became a chaplain in her 70s, primary school chaplain. She was a dynamo. She'd become a Christian when she was 45. And before that had lived a fairly robust life, let's say it that way. And she had this habit still in her 70s, saying whenever something annoyed her, "Oh, God." That's what she'd say, "Oh, God." She used to come and say morning prayer with me, and if there was something in the Bible that she found difficult, she'd say, "Oh, God." It wasn't a prayer, it was a comment. And I had people who would ask me, I've told you this story before, have I?
Yeah.
You know, and you know that it's actually when she was reacting to the word of God that way, she says this, oh God, and then she pulls herself up and it's suddenly like something's broken through. She says, I say that a lot, don't I? And say, yeah, you do. She says, it's not good, is it? I said, no, not really. And she said, I think I'll stop. And then she made the effort to stop. Like it took some, breaking habits takes some time, doesn't it? But good on her. But there was the work of the Spirit in her. People were wanting me to sort her out, and the Spirit just did it in a much kinder way than I could have, by self-revelation in a way. That's a normal and a necessary part of the work of God in each of us. But that work of reproof really serves the larger positive work of God in us through the Word of God, teaching us the truth about Jesus, correcting us. I thought maybe that might have been a negative word, but it's not. Really, that word has got the sense of transformation or restoration. It sets us right. Yeah. And trains us in righteousness, those three aspects of the Word of God that the reproof is just a small part of, in order that we begin this way of finding our new way ahead, much like my friend did, you know. I wonder if there's times when you've been aware of the Scriptures being used by the Spirit in any of those ways, teaching you really something about Jesus that you hadn't seen, reproving you, convicting you, or restoring and transforming you, or training you in God's righteous ways. I wonder if there's anything you can think of where the Word of God's done. I remember one of my trips up north to Central Australia. I was lying in bed in Papunya, and I just had this, I'd been troubled really by a persistent defect in me for a long time, and I was reading the Bible, and I don't even remember what I was reading, but suddenly I had this deep sense that God was saying to me, all that stuff, it's past, it's gone. That was such a great thing to know, and it was restoring and transformative. It was that kind of corrective work of God. It's, that stuff's past, it's gone. Don't live with this phantom. That was a great word. Well, as the Scriptures teach, correct, renew and train us, they're really the Holy Spirit's toolbox. That's why it's so good to spend time every day, if you can, reading a portion of the Scriptures and giving some prayer and thought and meditation on that word. It doesn't have to be a lot and doesn't have to be a little. It has to be what's doable for you, really. If you're like me, you'll find some parts of the Bible. I try to read through the Bible every year. I don't do it, don't ever get there. I think it's why it takes me more than a year. But I find that there are some parts, even with all my years of ministry and study and so on, that I still actually don't understand. But I keep reading them. Every time I read them, I kind of feel like I've got a bit more of a glimmer of a sense of what they're about. But that's not the main point of reading the Bible. The Holy Scriptures, or the Holy Spirit, is using the toolbox of the Scriptures to lead us to reach completion, Paul says, so that the man of God may be complete, that the person of God, God's person, could be complete. Now, that's not really speaking of perfection or theological completeness, so you've got a complete understanding of everything theologically. Complete, the word there really has this sense of capability or proficiency or competence. So it's actually very, it's a practical word, complete meaning competent. Well, competent for what? As the Spirit shows us Jesus through the Scriptures, he says, Paul says, he equips us for every good work. So through the Scriptures and through the Scriptures teaching and reproofing and correcting and training in righteousness, we become competent in Christian life. We become competent in a life of doing good. The perfection or completion of Christians is the perfection or completion of love, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of gentleness, of patience, and every other fruit of the Spirit. The Scriptures, as the Holy Spirit uses them, actually starts to shape us according to the likeness of Jesus. And we end up doing good things, things that resonate with the good that is in Jesus. The Christian competence is the competence of faith and hope and love. And so it's for these reasons that Paul urges Timothy both to persevere in the truths that he'd learned since childhood and to persevere in teaching them. He says, be ready in season and out of season, when it's wanted, when it's not really wanted. What a season we're having in South Australia. I don't know if you've been out in the country, but the crops are, they're not a mile high, but they're pretty close. They just look so lush and good this year. But you know, the farmers, they're waiting for the season to change. They're waiting for the warmth to come so that the crops can start to ripen up. I think it's going to be a late harvest this year. It's been so wet for so long, hasn't it? Timothy, he seems like maybe Paul's encouraging him and saying, maybe you're feeling like it's just a hard grind with ministry at the moment. You're not seeing much come. Well, keep going with it now, because somehow that leads to the time when it is in season. You'd find that too, wouldn't you? That sometimes Christian life, Christian living is a hard grind. And you have situations that you really wish could change in some way. You keep persevering and find that God will, in his time, bring the new season around. For Paul and Timothy, what Timothy faces is that there are false teachers around and people are loving them. They accumulate false teachers, people who are telling them the things they want to hear rather than the things that God wants to tell them through his word. And so people are turning away from listening to the truth and heading down these rabbit holes, these blind alleys. And Paul says, how do you respond to that, Timothy? Keep preaching the word. Keep holding to that word and use it then to reprove and rebuke and exhort. That's what it's for. That's what it's useful for. So use it. But do this, he says, with complete patience. Don't lose your cool with these guys. And with complete patience and teaching. In other words, use the word of God and open it up and help it be patient and carefully teach what the word of God says. Don't just kind of try and hammer it out of them. Patiently keep teaching the word of God. Now, Paul urges Timothy to persevere in these truths, and then he gives a final basis for this exhortation. Because Jesus will judge the living and the dead, appearing at the end of history in the glory of his rule, we, like Timothy, should live our lives here with joyful seriousness. Seriously fulfilling the commission that each of us has been given, sharing the word of God where we can, in the joyful knowledge that the kingdom is coming, and finally then all perseverance will have reached its goal. We will be complete in every way, totally conformed to the likeness of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What a day that will be when the Master appears, all that we hoped for and more. We will see his glory, and we will know ourselves to be fully complete, and we'll look at our brothers and sisters and know them to be complete too in that great glory that is the glory of Jesus. So come, Lord Jesus. Amen.